Kuntres is from one of my favorite authors, Rabbi Eliakim Dvorkis. We use his svarim. He has probably about 20 svarim by now. He once put out a soft-covered Kuntres. I think just a collection of what he has in all from all of his other svarim, collected into one location, to one sefer, all about a tainis, all of the chikrei halachos uminug binyane ta'aniyos hatzibur v'hayachid.
Dvorkis.
His first name is Eliakim. Eliakim, and his last name is Dvorkis. He lives in there, I believe in Eretz, I don't know how to spell. He lives in Eretz Yisrael, I believe, and he writes, I always use this term. He writes on Halacha, on Minhagim, he writes very, very well. An awesome Talmud Chacham, and this is a collection of many of his articles relating to one topic, the topic of a tainis, a fast day. So it's very interesting. And you go through the sefer, go through some of the, we went through a lot of these things over time here and there. I just want to do today is that being that we're soon coming to Tisha B'Av, a tainis, and really tonight begins Chodesh Av, and begins tonight the yahrzeit of Aaron HaKohen. There are two Roshei Chodashim where you are allowed to fast, b'diavad, under certain circumstances, and they're Nisan and Av. Why are you allowed to fast during Nisan and Av? Because these are two days that it says beferish in the Torah that tzaddikim passed away. Nada v'Avihu passed away, died on Rosh Chodesh Nisan. B'akrivam eish zora asher lo tziva isam. And Teitzei Eish Melefnei Hashem, their neshamos were burnt and their bodies were intact. It was on the day of the Chanukah Samishkan, took place on Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and it says in last week's parasha explicitly that Aaron HaKohen went up to Hor HaHor B'Chodesh HaChamishi Be'echad LaChodesh on the first day of the fifth month, which is Rosh Chodesh Av. Rosh Chodesh Av is the Petira of Aaron HaKohen. It says in the Pasuk something that does not say about anyone in the entire Tanakh. Vayivku b'nei kol, I don't remember the exact words of the Pasuk, kol b'nei Yisrael. Vayivku es Aaron Shloi Shemyoim, kol beis Yisrael. The entire Klal Yisrael. Rashi says, my Moshe doesn't say kol, doesn't say that everyone cried for him. Korach wasn't crying. Doesn't say that everyone in Klai Shalom, but Aaron Oyev Shalom V'Roidev Shalom. He affected, there wasn't a single member in the entire Klai Shalom that wasn't touched by Aaron HaKohen. The whole Klal Yisrael cried for him. It's a big yard site. Mayor, it's probably the biggest yard site ever. If it says in the Torah, Vayivku kol beis Yisrael. The whole Klal Yisrael mourned over his death.
We fast, okay,
Rashbi is a different category. Let's not get into making, what do you mean? Even when a person has a yard site and they make a tikkun, the tikkun is not for the person who's observing the yard site. Even the people who make a tikkun will admit to you that they should be fasting. The tikkun is for others, but for the person who's observing the yard site, according to everyone, l'chol hadeis, l'chatchila he should fast. It's not everyone can fast. Not everyone has the koyach to fast today. But there's no such thing as making a party on the day of a yard site. You make a tikkun in honor of the other people, they should make a bracha. Make a bracha. They should make a bracha. You mahana them. They should make a bracha. Even if they don't make a bracha, they should feel good. You give them some koyach. You do a chesed with them. Halavai, everyone should make a bracha with the proper kavana. What about the people who take the food in the back and they don't make a bracha with kavana? At least I did a chesed. I gave them something to eat. You give someone something to eat, you know, it changes their frame of mind. Most people are nasty because they're hungry. Okay? Children in school, this is a rule we had over here, Rabbi Dr. Fried, he once spoke with us, and he told us a fact, is that in school, when we have children in school, and the children are acting up, The first question a professional trained Rebbe will ask when he sees in his class in the morning that the kids are acting up, a child is acting up, did he have breakfast? Did he eat breakfast? That's the first thing. If you don't know that rule, then you shouldn't be a Rebbe. Did he have breakfast? Because if the kid did not have breakfast, that's what happens. Glucose.
Second thing is, did he have a good night's sleep?
Okay, then the kid had breakfast. Okay, then you have to go start begging in bed. Before you go and you turn over the world, let's do the basics, the Aleph base. Did he eat breakfast? Don't go and call down call the police because there's some dysfunctional home. Before you ask, does he come from a dysfunctional home? Let's first ask the basic question.
By the way, breakfast is break fast.
Break fast, okay? So this is so okay, so even the people
in... If you have breakfast, it is a dysfunctional home.
Right.
But okay.
Okay, fine. Whatever. Okay, let's not get there. But the point is a very big yard site, and therefore, let's say a chassan, someone gets married. You're allowed to get married during the 9 days. You're allowed to even get married at erison. It says erison. You're not allowed to have nesuin, but a man is allowed to say to a woman, "Hare at mikudesh asli b'tabazu," even on Tisha B'Av. It says in Shulchan Aruch, nesuin not, but erison yes. So Rosh Chodesh, a person can technically get married, Rosh Chodesh Av, Chosan, would he fast on that day? The answer is yes. So Chosan, but it's Rosh Chodesh, it's an exception. Because Rosh Chodesh is the Yom of the Petira, of Aaron HaKoyen, and Yadus, the Yortzeit, the day of the calendar, it is a return to that moment in time. There is an effect. When you go through time, you are returning. There are 365 days to 354 days, lunar, solar. You're returning to a moment in time, and every year we re-experience on Rosh Chodesh Av the Petira of Aaron HaKoyen, which is a traumatic event. The person who was Oyev Shalom, V'Roydev Shalom, a living example, the person in whose Suchus we had shelter, the Anani HaKovoid, was given the Klal Yisrael in the Zuchus of Aaron HaKohen. It's not a simple day for Chodesh Adar to reflect on the fact that it is the Yom Petira, Vayivku, the entire Klal Yisrael mourned for his loss. It doesn't say this about anyone, not about Moshe, not about Miriam, not about any of the Gedolei Yisrael mentioned in Tanakh, only Aaron HaKohen. Now, in the process of acknowledging that it is a day of to reflect, and it's Yortzeit, and therefore there is such a concept of a tainus, which we have to discuss. It triggers a topic of going throughout the entire year and analyzing all, which to run through in a few minutes, time that we have, to run through many different days of the year when we have a tainus. And the question is, why? Is a fast day one size fits all? Every single fast is the same. It's the same. You fast. It's just a concept. Why do you fast? You fast because it's part of the process of doing teshuva. You should not engage, not embrace gashmias. You should remove yourself from the oil of magash. What is going on? Well, let me just rattle off all the different types of fast days, and it becomes very obvious is that there are different reasons as to why we fast on different days. For example, the ultimate fast day, the mother of all fast days, is Yom Kippur. That is the only fast day that is Midaraisa. Okay, just run through the name. What is the next fast day that's on the top of the list? Tisha B'Av. Why do I say that? Because Tisha B'Av, the fast begins at night. It's the only other fast that we, today, in our day and age, according to Halacha, that we still fast. The fast begins with sunset. It's interesting that it's not as chomor as it's. First, it's only rabbinic. I will get to all that in a little bit. But the amount of time that you fast on Tisha B'Av is less than the time you fast on Yom Kippur. Now, Yom Kippur, it's the same amount of time, right? Because it's just a matter of sundown to Tesach Kochavim. But on Yom Kippur, there's a mitzvah de'oraisa of Tosefes Yom Kippurim, which means that you're supposed to start fasting before sunset. Okay, we halacha l'maisa today we accept pretty much is the fast begins technically with sunset. That's the way we live today. Ashkenazim, Sfardim, Hasidim, that's what's been accepted today. The fast begins with sunset Shkia. When does the fast end? Tseis HaKoychavim. When is Tseis HaKoychavim? Okay, that's up to you. 72 minutes, 90 minutes, 50 minutes, 45 minutes, 41 minutes, 35 minutes, whatever. That's not our point. The point is that the fast ends at Tseis HaKoychavim. When does it begin? Shkia. That is not true for Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur, it begins before Shkia. Because in Yom Kippur, there is a halacha, it's a pasuk, we learn that, I don't remember the drushes, Tosefes, to add to the Moisef, Mi Moisef, Michol, Al HaKodesh, to Tosefes, Yom Kippur, like Shabbos, a little bit more. Which means you should start the fast. I think with candlelighting, basically the minhag Yisrael today is to begin fasting with candlelighting whenever you observe for candlelighting. Candlelighting typically, we in most calendars have it at 18 minutes. In Yerushalayim, I don't know what Yerushalayim, the minhag is candlelighting is 40 minutes before sunset. And technically, many women are running late usually, so they light candles sometimes after 18 minutes, as long as you light candles, they say that you should have at least, I don't remember, we once learned this, a few minutes, at least 4 minutes. Person should try the utmost to light candles, Erev Shabbos, the very least, 4 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes before sunset. The same way you light candles before sunset, so too the fast of Yom Kippur begins before sunset. So the longest fast of the year is from before sunset to Tseis HaKoychavim is Yom Kippur. There is no Tosefes Yom of Tisha B'Av. I remember as a child I was in camp and we could see the sun setting. There was a guy that was eating, looking at the sunset. I can eat until I no longer see the sun. And kept on eating until the ball of the sun went below the horizon. Okay, you can do that. You can do that. Take your off to look at the sun. Look at your watch. Okay, look at your watch. They'll tell you what time sunset is. There's no halacha anywhere of Tosefes Yom Kippur. Tisha B'Av. So Tisha B'Av is not as long as Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is the longest. Besides that, it's biblical. And besides that, a person eats b'mezid, a shear, that is not chaseves agasa, he's chayiv karis, chas v'shalom, okay, he's a chayiv karis for eating on Yom Kippur, b'mezid, for no reason whatsoever, a full shear, whatever the shear is, it's karis, serious business over here, karis, okay, so it's biblical, it's karis, but there's another chumrah that people don't pay, you have to appreciate. Yom Kippur midoraisa, according to many, this a mitzvah deraisa of Tosefes. It begins before sunset. How much before? Well, technically, just a few minutes. But lechatchila, I mean, the oilam today seems to be market. Candlelighting is 18 minutes. Tisha B'Av, there is no Tosefes Tisha, no such thing. No way, Jose, is there anything called Tosefes Tisha B'Av. The fast begins with sunset. Okay, then, okay, that's good, that's that, then we should run. What else? Then there are the other tzaymas of the Nevi'im. These are sanctioned by the prophets. The tzaym Zechariah and Yirmiyah, the tzaym Harivi, the tzaym Hachamishi, the tzaym Hashavi, the tzaym Hoasiri, Asar B'Teves, Shavas B'Tamos, and Tzaym Gedalia. These are fast days that have been sanctioned by the prophets, by Zechariah and Yirmiyah. They explicitly mention these fast days. They mention the month. They don't mention the day. Okay, that's a big topic of discussion. Is there a hakpada to do bedafka on these particular days? Is that rabbinic? That the Rabbanim decided we're going to set it on this day of the month, but the Nevi'im said it has to be done at least one day during the month to commemorate these days. Today, is it still a takana of the Nevi'im? The Pashtus is no. It's no longer. It's a minug. It's just a minug bizman hazeh. Once they rebuilt the Bayis Sheni, then these fast days were canceled on a level of takanas Nevi'im, but it's still observed today as a minug. Okay, so that's another category of fast day. So far, what do we have so far? We have over here the biblical fast day. The biblical fast day is Yom Kippur. And then there are the Dalet Tzoymais, which were given to us by the Nevi'im. And from the Dalet Tzoymais, there is one that stands head and shoulders above the other three. And that is Tisha B'Av. Because on that day, the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, and we observe still, we begin to fast from sunset. And then there are the other three, Asar B'Teves, Shavas B'Tamos, and Tzom Gedali, which are all related to the cycle of Churban, the cycle of the process of the Churban of the Bayis Rishon, and those are from the Nevi'im. Okay, now let's go to more fast days. Then there's another rabbinic fast day called Tainis Esther. That's a Tainis Tzibur. What is that all about? Okay, hold off. That's a different type of fast day, a Tainis Tzibur. Then there's a Tainis Tzibur. Let's keep to the Tainis Tzibur, Bahab. Okay, we don't really practice this too much today, but it used to be a universally accepted Tainis Tzibur that Monday, Thursday, Monday, following Sukkos and Pesach, the Tzibur, Klal Yisrael, they fast. This is a Tainis Tzibur. Who enacted this? This is not the Nevi'im. It's not related to Esther, Tainis Esther. Tainis Esther is a big mystery how it evolved, but Tainis Esther definitely takes us back to the time of the Nevi'im. Okay, the time of the not the Nevi'im, I'm taking that back. The time of Megillas Esther. Okay, Megillas Esther, it's Ksuvim, it's a Megillah, the Sifrei Kodesh. You're dealing here with the Sifrei Kodesh, the time of the Ksuvim. You're dealing here in a different period of history, which carries a lot of weight. If the Tainis Esther takes us back to the story of Purim, obviously there's something heavy. There's a heaviness about that Tainis. And then we come to Bahab. Bahab is something which is more recent. It's more recent. Monday, Thursday, Monday. I told we already said Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is biblical. Oh, very good. We'll get to that. I actually didn't even write that down. That's another one. Yom Kippur Katan. That's today. Excellent. That's today. Anyone, that's right. Let's say get all the emails where you can go daven Yom Kippur Katan Minyan today. That's right. Yom Kippur Katan. Yankee's making the barbecue today on Yom Kippur Katan, Mayor. Okay, that's interesting. What? So what? This is fast the whole day. All right, most people don't observe Yom Kippur Katan. Yom Kippur Katan was not necessarily meant to be observed every Rosh Chodesh. It was really meant Elul, Nisan, Yom Kippur Katan today, whatever. Not for everyone, whatever. But any event, Yom Kippur Katan, right. But then you have, talking about over here, that a Tainis that was enacted for the Tzibur by the rabbis, and that would fit into the category of Bahab, Monday, Thursday, Monday after Pesach, and after Sukkot is a rabbinic fast day. For some reason, we're not at all machbid about this today. And now,
They always kept the Bahab, they said.
They fasted? They didn't fast, though.
Not the fasting.
Not the slichas. Right, the slichas.
The tachumim that they would say.
Right, the slichas. The slichas. The slichas, yeah. So that's part. All the yeshivas, they say the slichas, but no one fasts. Today, who fasts? Maybe Yechidim fasts, but it used to be a tzibur. And look, on the Shabbos before, you don't even do Bahab until you make the announcement on the Shabbos before. And what does it say in the Yehirat sign in the tefillah on the Shabbos before Bahab? The people, so you make the announcement, and what does it say? They're going to fast. You make a Misha Berach for the people that are going to fast.
Right.
You don't make a Misha Berach for people that are going. They're going to say Slichas. Shemesani. You don't. But you don't make a Misha Berach for the people that are going to say the Slichas. Only the people who fast today. Hard to find a person who's going to fast on Bahab. I'm sure there are, but the common man's not fasting for Bahab. But it is a time of a Tzibur. Okay. So these are now then Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch, there's a whole list of fast days, other fast days, which is Shulchan Aruch. So it's also a rabbinic enactment. And they are, for example, the Petira of Moish Zayin Adar.
The concept of Beis HaBeis was taken from the Gemara Tainis,
days of Rachamim. They're days of Rachamim. Moshe went to be Mekabel the Torah on a Thursday, and he came then on a Monday. Right, Moshe Rabbeinu, he went to Shemayim. He went to Shemayim on a Thursday, and then on a Monday, they're days of Rachamim. They're days where we have a connection to above. Then in Shulchan Aruch, I forgot the simmer, the end of Chelek Dalid, is the fast days of the Tzibur, which include just which include Zayin Adar, the Petira of Moshe Rabbeinu. This is Shulchan Aruch. This is a Tainus Tzibur. Zayin Adar. No one does. We don't do it today. Zayin Adar. And then there are two more fast days, which also tie to Sibar. They are the eighth day of Teves and the ninth day of Teves. What happened on the eighth day of Teves? The Torah was translated into Greek by Aspasionus.
No, by
Talmi Hamelach.
Yes.
Talmai Hamelach. Okay. It was translated into Greek, and a darkness. Right. What's it called in English? The S. The Septuagint.
What?
The Torah was translated into Greek, and 3 days of darkness descended upon the world. Tiny Sibor. The ninth day is the most mysterious. The ninth day, Shulchan Aruch. We don't know why. Okay, Shulchan Aruch doesn't know why, but we think we know why. Ezra, the Mishneh Berura quotes the Knesset HaGedoyla that the Messiah is that Ezra HaSofer died on the ninth day of Teves. There are many other reasons for that fast day, not for now, but it's another Tainus. John, Paul, okay, there are all these other reasons as why we fast, but it's Sayyid and Shulchan Aruch. Okay, what else? Now, it could be there are more, I just don't remember. Now, there's another fast day, Yud Zayin. Does anyone ever fast on Yud Zayin Elul? I think it's in Shulchan Aruch also. Yud Zayin Elul. What happened on Yud Zayin Elul? Tainus Tzibur. The Meraglim died. They all died. Yud Zayin Elul is a Tainus Tzibur. The Meraglim all perished on that day. They all died. It's the sixth parsha. We learned it yesterday in the afternoon. The parsha refers to it this week. In Parsh Devarim, that they rebelled against Moshe Rabbeinu and against Hashem, and they died, the Meraglim. Did they do Teshuva before they died? We'll get to maybe a little bit of this in a second. I just want to point at all the different fast days. Now that pretty much, maybe I'm leaving out, are fast days for the Tzibur. We've gone from the most Chomer Deraisa to the Nevi'im, to the time of the Ksuvim, the story of the Megillah, Tainus Esther. There's got to be a relationship. And then we go to the rabbinic enactments of Bahab, and then all the things listed in Shulchan Aruch, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ches, Teves, Tes Teves, Yud Zayin, Elul, the Meraglim died on that day. Could be I'm leaving out some, I don't remember. Could be there's more. And then there are fast days for individuals. For example, a Tainus Chaloyim. If you have a bad dream, if you had a dream and Mayor Appledorf came to you. Yeah, Tainus Chaloyim, Chasham. Tainus Chaloyim. Okay, then what? Then there is a Chosan Kala. But let's say Liboy Naikvai. There are many things. There are many things that you can do. You can say Yihiratzah and wait for Birchas Kehanim. You go to a Svarish shul here in Flatbush, and when they say Birchas Kehanim, you say Yihiratzah. That's a silly person, a bad dream. So there are a lot of Svarish shuls in this neighborhood, and you go to a Svarish shul for Shachris, and they do Birchas Kehanim, and when they're saying Birchas Kehanim, you say with Kavana the Yihiratzah and the Yom Ram, even one time.
No time.
What? No time? They do it so fast?
You don't need a gap.
You don't need a gap while they're saying Yivarech, while they're saying it. You just right away. You say Yiratzon. You do your thing while they're saying it. Even if they're not giving you time to pause, you say it with kavana. Just say it one time with kavana. Say the short version, and you have kavana, or you have tovas chaloyim. And if that doesn't work, a tainus chaloyim, a yachid, chasan kala. Chos and Kalab Yom Chupasam, they fast, individual. I didn't get to read it yet. He has a whole chapter. The difference between the tainus of the Chosan and the tainus of the Kala. It's a different type of tainus. He has a whole arichus, it's very fascinating. So I'm trying to get you there. Every tainus is unique. I just want to first enumerate all the different types of fast days. You can fast the whole year. There's no time to eat. Every single day you can find a reason when you get finished with all the fast days. There's no time to eat. Do all the fast days. When are you going to ever eat? Okay, chasan has to fast. Akala has to fast. Tainus chaloim. Now get a load of this. Did you ever hear of this? I never heard of this. Is there used to be in the history of the Jewish people that it used to be, now I left out a time, two times to see, but we'll get back to it in a second, but it used to be that a bar mitzvah boy, the day, you never heard of this, go try this at home, tell this to your grandchildren, such a thing, cite all the sources are here, a bar mitzvah boy the day before the bar mitzvah would fast. Good idea. Erev the bar mitzvah, the day before a boy becomes bar mitzvah, he should fast. He's entering into the oil hamitzvahs. This is a big day. This is a big day. A little kid, he can fast. A little kid, he has more koyach than most adults put together. Don't underestimate the koyach of a child. Before the bar mitzvah, the same way a chosan fasts before he gets married, a bar mitzvah boy should fast when he's a katan, the last day of him being a child, as a preparation to enter into the state of godless in a frame of mind of kedusha. Good idea. Why not?
Who says
he had no averus just because he's a katan? We somehow just whitewash katanus. A child is also a person. Don't underestimate the koyach of a child. A child on Tisha B'Av, the whole Klal Yisrael, many of the zuchus that we live on are the zuchus of the Tinoika Shel Beis Rabban. They're pretty powerful. The Hevel Tinoika Shel Beis Rabban, the whole world only exists in their zuchus. They're people also. And if they fast, then I'm a chuyev to fast. But if they fast, and all right, you could say what you want, whatever it is. Okay, now I left out very important. Okay, it doesn't take away. So there's something going on. Okay, there's a weight. It's not nice just to whitewash the whole thing. You know, you push it off. A child is a person. Children have tremendous koichos. The world lives in their zuchus. Okay, now I left out something very, very important. I try to present this from the most chomor to the most kal. And we talk about chomor, deraisa, zman, the neviim. Then we went to Megillas, we went to Tainus Esther, which has to relate to the time of the ksuvim. Okay, I'll calm down a second. Okay, good. I have that on the list. We won't go to the hierarchy. Okay? Deraisa, neviim, Tainus Esther.
That's before the person.
These are tzibur. These are all tzibur. Then I said Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that Zayin Adar is a tiny sim. It doesn't make any. There's no exceptions. Zayin Adar, the ganz Klal Yisrael has to fast. The whole Klal Yisrael. No exceptions. It's a tiny tzibur. Vayechal, the full works, the whole 9 yards. And Yud Zayin Elul, Ches Teves, Tes Teves. There are probably more things I left out over there. Tiny tzibur, no exceptions. Then there comes a tainus tzibur for a country or a community. Chav Sivan. Chav Sivan. Tach Vitat. The Khmelnytsky massacres. That wasn't the first time Chav Sivan was a tainus. Chav Sivan was a tainus, the pogroms, in the time of Rabbeinu Tam. It goes back to the time of the Rishonim. Okay, I don't remember the details. I gotta go do my homework. But during the day of Chav Sivan was a day that was enacted as a tainus tzibur going back into the 13th century, in there, or even the 12th century maybe I'm getting mixed up. It was what?
They burnt the
what?
It could be the
Strafus of Talmud. No, that's the next one. I'm getting to that in a second. That's the next one. That is Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. But Chav Sivan, on the calendar day, Chav Sivan, this was a tainus tzibur that was enacted I believe in the time of the Rishonim, I forgot exactly, in the time of Rabbeinu Tam, in the Rishonim, after a pogrom, a terrible pogrom, Rabbeinu Gershon's, one of his children maybe was murdered, I don't remember the details, and then it fizzled out, and then later, in the Middle Ages, again, Nochamol, they reenacted it after another terrible tragedy. After I don't remember the detail, I don't remember this, and it was reenacted, and then in 1648, 1649, in the horrific time in Poland, in the time of the Shah and the Taz and the whole era of Tach V'Tat, that's the Hebrew equivalent of 1648, 1649. What's known as the Khmelnytsky massacres, the Vad Arba Arotzes, okay, the community of Poland, Lithuania, I don't know all the details, I don't know the history too well, but the Jewish community enacted that Chof Sivan is a Tainis Tzibur. No exceptions. There are a lot of, I take that back, there were a lot of exceptions. Even Atke de Kach, that you only have to fast if you're 15 years. It's very interesting how they didn't follow the rules of Bar Mitzvah. It's very complicated. You have to go read the enactment. But it was a tainus. There was a set of rules, who fasts, who doesn't have to fast. And they had slichos, and the slichos are still readily available. They're printed in some sidurim. The slichos of Chof Sivan. Today, if you tell a person that you're supposed to fast on Chof Sivan, they look at you like you're from Mars. And it wasn't all that long ago that Klal Yisrael took it very seriously. 100 years ago, when you said Chof Sivan, everyone knew what you're talking about. Whether you fasted or not, that's another story, but everyone knew what you're talking about. Just like today, you know, actually, when I was a kid, I never heard of Bahab. If you would say to me when I'm 15 years old, are you going to fast Bahab? I would say, why? What's Bahab? I never heard of that. Then he got a little bit older. You learned about Bahab. Today, Baruch Hashem, today everyone pretty much knows what Bahab is. Does anyone fast? No. No one fasts. But everyone today seems to know what Bahab is. Well, it used to be everyone seemed to know what Chof Sivan was. There was a very sensitivity to Chof Sivan. Why, Taka, has it been forgotten? So people will tell you Holocaust. The tragedies of the Holocaust eclipsed the tragedies of the Khmelnytsky massacres. Totally, 6 million people compared to 100,000 people. Okay, how many people died in the Khmelnytsky massacres? No one knows the answer. They used to say in the beginning 500,000 people. Then they said, no, that's an exaggeration. 300. Then they said 100,000. And now a lot of experts say, they say 50,000, 30,000, 20,000. It's not really clear. I don't remember. Not so long ago. I just forget everything. It goes out of my head. They really lowered the number significantly. Holocaust, 6 million people, it's not even possible to be masik. So that totally, the whole thing of Chof Sivan was eclipsed by the Holocaust. But others say a halachic, and this is what's relevant to us, a halachic reason, that if you read clearly the history, you study the history of Chof Sivan, the gezerah of the Vad Arba Arotzes is only the people who live in Poland. And maybe, you know, the Vad Arba Arotzes, which maybe include, I don't know, maybe included Ukraine and Lithuania, the boundaries always changed. The boundaries at that time, they changed. It was the region. There was never a takana to fast if you don't live in this country. The takana was for the people who were directly affected. The whole Klal was affected. But the people that were directly affected by this shmad, by this horrific tragedy, it was for this country. There was never a takana in the European countries to fast. That was not for those countries. There was never a takana in America to fast. It was in this region. So that's another type of fast, where you have a very strong, powerful kihila, and there is a vad of Rabbanim who enact, in our day, in modern times, a takana to fast. It's limited. Their power to enact a new tainus sibur on the Klal Yisrael is limited to your constituents, to your members, the people under your authority. No one today can get up and say, I'm making a new tainus for Gans Klal Yisrael. Excuse me. Who we make Gans Klal Yisrael? The people who in that region, Poland and the Saviva, they didn't look at themselves as if they're the Balabatim on the Gans Klal Yisrael. There's an Eretz Yisrael. There are other European countries. France and Germany were not shaykh to this. France, Germany, Spain. There are Jews living in Rome and other places. I guess there were Jews living all over the world already. Jews living in America. How many were living? No, were there? Not really. Can't be. It's too early. 1648. Who's living in America? Okay. But there were Jews living in the Far East. Okay, the Jews living in the far. There were certainly Jews living in France and Germany, in Spain, and I would assume in Rome, you know, that Italy, that whole area, and Eretz Yisrael. They were not the Balabatim of Gans Klal Yisrael. There was a terrible pogrom, tragedy. The Chmielnitsky massacres affected the region of Poland. We are the Balabatim. We are the Rabbanim of this region. We're making a takana. Mikanu l'haba, chav sivan is a tainus. We're not the Balabatim of the whole Klal Yisrael. But you live here, you had a fast. And many of us are, you know, are shaykh to Poland. Many of us have roots in Poland, Lithuania, Russia, Hungary. Okay, so Hungary is not really that part of that region. But we have shaykhs to this. And that's why we still talk about it. And we talk about chav sivan. Likewise, another example of this is France. Okay, this is another thing, is Erev Shabbos Parshas Chukas. Another tiny Siba, the Sreifa Satora. What happened in Sweden this week? The guy didn't do it.
He never planned.
He said he never planned to do it. He said never a kavana. What he was gonna burn, I didn't even pay attention to the, I didn't read one word, just read the headlines. He was gonna really burn a real Sefer Torah or a printed book.
Real
Sefer Torah? Yeah, how did he get a hold of it?
It's not at all clear.
You don't know.
He never said it.
He had in his possession a real Sefer Torah?
No.
A Chumash? You were in a Chumash?
But he was planning retaliation for burning of the Quran. He was not only going to burn a Sefer Torah.
He was going to burn a Quran also?
He was going to. No, a Bible.
No?
A Christian Bible. So he was going to get back a Christian Bible and the Jewish Bible. That was his original.
And he had in his possession a real Sefer Torah?
No.
A Chumash. He was going to burn a printed Chumash.
Probably.
Okay, and at the end, he chickened out. Baruch Hashem. Okay. Whatever this is. But.
Does not let the Swedes off the hook.
Of course not, right? Correct. Good point. Very good point. It's a very good point he's saying. Is that the Swedes, he said he was going to do it, and they said you can do it. Freedom. Whatever, yeah. It's something to be discussed. It's something to be discussed. When Rav Mechol said, he made a very good point. Even though at the end of the day, he did not do it, but the fact that the government allowed it to be done is something which needs to be understood and discussed. In France, what year was it? 1270.
Shreves at Talmud.
1242, Shreifa Satalmud is a big story. Disputation, at the end of disputation, Shreifa Satalmud, the Shelis Chaloim, and what is so unique is the date, is that it should always be observed Erev Shabbos, Parashas Chukas. So these are examples of a tainis tzibur, but limited to a location. Limited to a region, not necessarily affecting the entire Klal Yisrael. Okay, then we went and we discussed all of the private fast days. Now also, you want to go mention a public fast day, Yom Kippur Katan, that was not necessarily accepted by all of Klal Yisrael. Some hold it was only meant to be observed only Erev on Elul. Some will tell you that it was only meant to be observed two times a year. Some will tell you four times a year, not necessarily every month. That's also a semi-tainus sibur, okay? And then we dealt over here with the private fast days. What about Erev Rosh Hashanah? There's a minig Yisrael to fast Erev Rosh Hashanah. I think it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch to fast the whole day Erev Rosh Hashanah. You break the fast a little bit before. Today people, they fast a half a day. Okay, then there's a minig to fast during the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. And then there are private fast days. Private fast days, the person on a yard site, the person, if he can, he fasts on the yard site of his parents, mother, and father. What about the fast day, let's say, Rachmana Lissan of another relative? I'm not so sure there's an Indian to fast. It's not so poshut. This concept of fasting on a yard site applies to a relative other than a mother and a father. Rachmana Lissan, a person has another relative, even which he was an avelus for, is there an inyan to fast on that person's yard site? It's not so simple. The yard site is only, the fasting is only for a mother and a father. Is there an inyan to fast on a yard site of a relative which a person sat shiva for? Not so simple. There is an inyan to fast on that day. Ati ma'ayin. Okay, then there's another fast day, there's also Tainus Sibur, I forgot to mention, Erev Pesach. Erev Pesach, Tainus Bechorim. What did we leave out? There's one thing that I left out on purpose, which I want to get to. Okay, so basically we've gone through at least 20, over 20 different fast days. Now what I really wanted to do, I thought I would have time, is to explain that every single one of these fast days that we've mentioned is not the same. The frame of mind as to why you are fasting has nothing to do almost with the other fast day. Every single, we've gone through over 20 fast days. Every single fast day, why am I fasting? Why? You're on a diet? Why are you fasting? Your kavan is I'm doing teshuvah? Is it because the Torah says torture yourself? The inisem es nafsha seichem, is it discipline? Is it discipline? Is it zecher lenes? Or is it, we just don't want you to get drunk. We just don't want you to get tired and drunk and you're going to forget to lay in the Megillah. Is it zecher lenes? That's a strange way to remember a miracle. Normally when you want to remember a miracle, you celebrate. Since when do you fast? Just as a way to remember the miracle. Do you fast in order to save money on food so you can give the money instead to poor people? Is that the technique? Nothing to do with doing teshuvah. Chazal said, today you fast. You know why you fast today? You're going to save money. You're not going to have to go to the supermarket to buy lunch. You don't have to go give $1.25 downstairs, $1.50 downstairs. So give the $1.50 to the MTA. You give it to give it to charity. That was a bad joke. You give it to charity. Okay, there are every single fast day. I'm winding down to one point I want to make over here. Winding down to the one day that I left out. But we've gone through at least 20 different types of fast days throughout the year. And what's kedai to remember, the nature, lo yiri'izeh, the nature of every single one of these fast days has nothing to do, almost in many situations, with the nature of the fast of the other day. And in this Sefer, he does that in a most magnificent way. As he goes through each fast day, he just derech does it without even trying. He says, why do we fast? Oh, it says in the Mishnah Berurah, it says in the Knesset HaGedolah, it says in the El Yerabah, it says in a medrash, it says this. Is there a chagav? As he goes through every single one of the over 20 different examples that I've given you, either chagav tells you why we fast. Wait a minute. That's not what you said for that fast day. That's right. It's a different purpose. Now comes to the question I like to ask is, why do we fast on Tisha B'Av? Now you're telling me this is a very serious fast day. It's from the prophets. It's from the Nevi'im. This is sanctioned by Yirmiyah. and by Zechariah. Why do you fast on Tisha B'Av? So if you look at the day, so you have Taina Sibur, Yilein by Mincha, Vayichal Moshe, Yilein by Mincha, Yilein Dirshu Hashem Bimotza, it's a Taina Sibur. All right, that's a very good answer when you get to Mincha. But when you're holding at Shachris, and the night before, there's no parallel. There was no parallel to anything else. There's no parallel. So you'll say, yeah, you need a fast at night so that when you get to Mincha, it should be a Taina Sibur. It's just a Hechsher. When it comes Mincha, the day turns into a Taina Sibur, like the other three fast days, whatever they're about. So Memeilu Tisha B'Av is Zel B'Zach, so you have to fast. Really? Okay, maybe. Because why? Because basically the major flavor of Tisha B'Av is Avelos, mourning. There is no fasting anywhere in Shulchan Aruch when a person, Rachmana Litzlan, is sitting Shiva. Someone called me up last week, he says, I'm hosting in my home a family who's sitting Shiva. What are the halachas do I need to know? I'm going to be there, they're here, whatever, and they need a place to sit Shiva, and they're sitting Shiva in my home. So the person said to me, I know there's a tainus, Shivas V'tamos. Do Avelim fast on Shiva Osa B'tamos? So I said, why not? He said, are you sure? The person, he really thought in his mind that if you're in Ovel, sitting Shiva, the halacha is you don't fast on Shivas of Atamos. I said, where'd you get that from? Everybody asked me, did you ever hear that before?
Well, there is a change.
Uh-oh.
The slichas. It's less slichas said in the base Ovel.
There are less slichas said in the base Ovel. Why?
I don't know the reason why. The concept is certain.
Too much, too intense. It's like you don't say Tachma.
Right,
the same way you don't say Tach, because you don't want to compound din with din.
Right.
Too much is no good. It's a base Ovel, so don't get too serious. You leave out. It's too intense. Shouldn't be. So does that carry over that it's too much already? They're in Avelus, so they shouldn't fast. I said, I don't know. I'm not a rabbi. I never heard of such a thing. That there should be such a thing that an Ovel, who's sitting Shiva, does not fast on a Taina Sibur? I never heard of such a thing. Okay, fine. I never heard such a thing. But this person is under the impression, Avelos, and Avelos is a contradiction. So he backed off, but he asked the question. I said, I never heard.
Does it own a fast?
No, of course not. Of course not. There's no such thing. Oh, no. What do you mean? An onain, that is because he's part of... No. An onain, he's part of everything. He's part of... You can't eat. Onain does not... Right, does not... Because that's an onain, not an ovel. That's an onain. Onain is a sug by itself. He's an onain has only one thing to do, and that is to bury the person. He's part of all mitzvahs. Of course, he can eat. An onain can eat, I believe. That's an onain, not an ovel. Tisha B'Av is a day of Avelus. It's Avelus. Why are you fasting? Oh, Taina Sibur. Okay, that's a good. It's a good answer. I'm not going to argue. It's a great answer. It's also a Taina Sibur. V'harayah v'yachal Moshe. Dear Shurashim. Okay, don't confuse me with the facts. Why do you fast on Tisha B'Av? Put aside that answer. Why? Neviim, you know, make it unique. Make it unique for me. Why? What's the unique nature? Don't confuse me with Asar B'Teves and Shavas B'Tamos, something like that. Let's just put it in a vacuum. Tisha B'Av. Everything that we know about Tisha B'Av is Avelus. Avelus, there's no such thing as fasting during Av. It doesn't, there's no such thing. Adarabah. There's a Sudas Havra. You drink 10 cups of wine. There's a whole Seder of Achil. There's a special Nusach of benching. No such thing. This mamish Chazal made special nuschois, special halachas of how you eat by a novel. What's going on? There's one fast that I left out from the 20 plus fast days. And that is, if a Sefer Torah falls on the floor. And that is a big topic. How do you know if a Sefer Torah falls on the floor, you have to fast? And it comes from a pasuk. It's a whole big topic of halachic discussion. Arur asher lo yokum es divrei es Sefer HaTorah hazos. Arur by the klolos, Chazal, they learn from this. Arur asher lo yokum. It's one of the curses. Cursed be the person that does not yokum, establish, uphold the words of the Torah. If a Sefer Torah, Chas v'Shalom, falls, it's a sign that we are unfortunately touching upon Arur Asher Lo Yokum Es Divrei HaSefer HaTorah HaZos. That's halacha. We're not making this up. This is halacha. Shulchan Aruch. A Sefer Torah falls. Okay, there's a lot of halachas of what you do. Sefer Torah falls. If you were in the room, if you saw it fall, you didn't see it fall, did it fall, did it not fall, were you holding on? Hey, the guy's a Shulchan Aruch. Heterim. But no one's going to disagree with this, a principle of Arur Asher Lo Yokum Es Divrei HaSefer HaTorah HaZos. So I want to suggest, this is drush. This is not halacha. This is not necessarily emes, but it's drush. Is that the nature of the tainus of Tisha B'Av is we're fasting because the Sefer Torah has fallen on the floor. Alma avda ha'aretz. Why was there a churban? The question was asked to the whole world, and no one knew the answer. It says that's the Haftorah of Tisha B'Av. We asked the Nevi'im, they didn't know, the Chachamim, they asked the Malachi Ashares, they asked everyone. No one can give a good answer, why was there a Churban? And the Haftorah, Yirmiyah says, I'll tell you why. Ozvu es Torasi. They have abandoned my Torah. They were made for the Bris Torah. Chazal says, Shaloi Berchoi Ba Torah Techila, they didn't make a bracha. The Torah has fallen. It has fallen. The tainess of Tisha B'Av is, Orur Asher Lo Yokum Es Divrei HaSefer HaTorah HaZos. It is the tainess Sibur of a Sefer Torah that has fallen on the floor. You know, there used to be, I told you, these bizarre minhagim. It's Mishnah, it's the Mishnah Tainus. The Pella. On a Tainus Sibur, they would put the Sefer Torah on the floor. That's what it says. They put the Sefer Torah on the floor. They draped it, they put a special mantle for the Sefer Torah, black. They draped the Sefer Torah in a black mantle. It used to be a minhag, I told you this minhag, that you used to ever see this when they lain on Tisha B'Av, a person who wants to be the volunteer lies down on the floor and on his back, and they put the Sefer Torah on his back, Ya'amoid, and they call up Elias. You lay in the Sefer Torah, the Bima is a person lying on the floor, and you spread out the Sefer Torah on his back. That is used to be done. Today, no one would dare do this. But this, mamsh. So the person lie down on the floor, and they roll the Sefer on his back, and that's where they leaned. Today, no one would dare do this. Maybe there are could be places that still preserve a token of the minhag, is they don't lean from the bima. I've never seen this. I heard about this. Is on Tish today? What do we do in Yeshul? So in some shuls they don't do anything. They lay on the bima. Some shuls they take off the mappa. They do it in your shul. They take off the mappa. Just the urn. There's only the urn. But they leave on. In some shuls, I don't remember. I think in Chaim Berlin they take off the mappa from the shulchan, and they put on a talus. It could be that the real meaning is not to use. Maybe the only reason why they use the talis is that they want to one day put in Geniza the bima, they should be able to throw it in the garbage and not have to go and bury it. But it could be the Ikar Adini is they take off the map and they lean on the bima with just the beer bima. I think a lot of shuls do that. I don't know. I can't tell you. I think many shuls, they take off the mappa. In some shuls, you don't lean from the bima. You lean in the back of the shul from the table. Tisha B'Av, you don't lean from the bima. We're embarrassed. It's part of the avelos. We don't deserve to lean from the bima. We lean from the table. On a regular table, we lean. Because the real minig was, lay on the floor. Or someone lies down and you lay on top of their back. But the bima is too, we don't deserve to lay from the bima. So I want to suggest, this is the nature. When you go through the tainiyos, every tainis is unique. What's Tisha B'Av? What are you fasting? What are you fasting for? What? You're an avelus. You should have a special nusach, nachem. Instead of saying Rachem Hashem Elokeinu in Birchas Hamazon, we'll say Nachem, we'll have special food for Tisha B'Av, and we'll sit on the floor, we'll eat eggs and ash and nusach with yayin, we'll drink a kreshal yayin for Nechama, a ganze shulchana. Fasting? What are you talking about? Since when do you fast on Tisha B'Av? Define the nature of the fast. I got 20 fast days for you. Everyone is unique. You got to show me something unique about Tisha B'Av that makes sense. A Sefer Torah has fallen. Ozvu es Torasi. And that has a makar. Ora shelo yokim is aror. It's a shocking thing. You have to fast. A Sefer Torah, come on, force. Okay.